commenting about how that they were never able to be delivered of alcohol until they found Jesus. You know, you never know what, you don't know what state they're in, you know, whether they're justified, sanctified, or whatever, but that one thing you know, they, the only thing that worked for them was God. Right. And that's what happens when God comes in. He changes you. Well, I hope you had a good time with your family and let me see here. We did. We had yesterday was a little bit depressing. Our little Chihuahua passed, and we had to bury her. So it was a very sad day for us. Well, I don't know what's going on here, but we'll try to make do. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word today, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that today will be a special day, that you'll bless us, Lord, with encouragement and help us along the way, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll guide us through these scriptures, Lord, as we study these things out. And help us today, we pray in your name. Amen. Now, we're going through the book of Corinthians. That is a little bit small, but I apologize, y'all. I don't know what's going on here. Well, if you can't read it, we'll just listen. So we're going through the book of Corinthians, and we landed on this verse that says we have the mind of Christ, which is there at the end of the first chapter. And we'll back up a little bit and examine these scriptures a little bit more. But when you really think about the mind of Christ, it's you think about the Son of God is referred to as the Word of God, and that God's got all these thoughts, and He expresses these thoughts, and He frames it up as the Word. So when you're hearing the Word of God, it's just like what Brother Aaron was talking about there. It's changing you. It changes you so that the world starts dropping away, and God, deity, is actually beginning to be expressed because you hear the Word of God. And Brother Random would explain, as I'll read all these quotes, that what happens as you begin to hear the Word of God, it begins to frame up not your head thinking, but your heart thinking, and to where you start looking at things differently. And you think that's really profound how that, a Christian just can't hardly get along with, a non-Christian or something, because you think different. And the Word actually starts making you think about things instead of looking so much at the present. You're thinking about the future and looking at things to be against one another. You're looking to be for something, and it starts, everything starts shaping up your worldview. And I've got this picture of the fig tree, and that's really the culmination of shaping your mind up so that you can believe that whatever God promised, no matter what the circumstances are, His promises are true, and you're going to believe that regardless, to be able to speak like Jesus did to the fig tree and speak to the mountain and speak because you believe that it is God's word is true, and you don't care if what the doctor's report is, and you don't care, like Abraham. Abraham didn't care how many years had passed as his body began to get more and more frail. It didn't matter, because the Word of God mattered more because of the way he was thinking about it than the circumstances. So that's really getting it to the mind of Christ. So if we go back in 1 Corinthians to verses 11 to 16, and just kind of read that again to set a background. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And he's talking about it's not just head knowledge, but we're connected to the divine because we've heard the Word of God, and it's actually shaping us so that we now can think like God, and we can now tap into His Spirit. So because he's giving us his supernatural knowledge, because we've got his life living in us. which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, not a lot of education, not in lectures, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's speaking of your perspective. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're looking at things different. Somebody that doesn't have the Holy Ghost is looking at you and wondering what's going on with you. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. He can discern right and wrong. He's looking at things from a totally different perspective than the carnal man. And the carnal man is looking at him, and he doesn't know how to judge the person that's filled with the Holy Ghost. To him, it's just a peculiar, oddball person. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, Brother Branham would say, and the Word became flesh, he said, every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form, that if received into the human being and spoke by the same thought that materializes the Bible, brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? Now that's where, you know, living below your privileges. Like, because we fail sometimes to grasp that the Word of God is so true and so real that if we will believe it, it will open up a channel to deity, and it will actually manifest in your life. It will change your life. It will change your family. It will do something. The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that's where Brother Ram would say is, your thinking is your character. Because the way that you think about things will manifest in the way that you treat others, and the way that you act, and the way that you behave. Because the way that you're thinking in your heart, that's what you are. Now your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by his thought first, then spoke it. And the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? Now, if that same spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, that said, let there be trees, and there was trees, and if that same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much could it say, let there be no cancer, and it will be gone? Let the blind eyes be opened, and it will be so. See, it's your thought. Jesus said, verily, you said that was Jesus, but wait a minute. He said, have faith in God, for verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved, plucked up, and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever things thou sayest. Now that seems like a phrase that stumbles us a little bit. Really? Anything that I say? You mean I can have peace in my home? You mean those things that depression or that anxiety or those pills that I have to keep taking to help with whatever problem I've got, that I can be delivered of that? Whatever. You'll have whatever things thou sayest. Now then we start framing up in our mind, well, I gotta work real hard, I gotta strain real hard. But it doesn't come like that. It's just the word, like a sheep eating grass. You just keep eating and eating and eating. And the sheep ain't got to prove nothing. It just is what it is. So the more you eat, the more your thinking will begin to change. Not your head thinking, but your heart thinking. Where you begin to believe because you've been digesting on the Word of God. You've been ruminating on the Word of God and not on that filth of the world that will make you think that way. Which is what Brother Branham was framing up in that sermon from last Sunday, Christianity versus idolatry. You think about the world, and you're going to start thinking, your character will express the world, but you think and meditate upon the Word of God, and you will begin to express the characteristics of the Word of God. Is that right? You shall have it. Not me, you shall have it. What power has been given to the church? And Brother, I just put together just a list of these things that Brother Branham said that about this topic. From different places, and if you want the exact reference, I'm happy to pull that. But to save some space, I just kind of scrunched them all together here. But he said, "Remember this, and never forget it." And you'll notice how many times that he said, about this. We have the mind of Christ. He said, remember this over and over again. Like he's trying to call out to the church. This is like, it's really important. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. What's the right mental attitude? Like Jesus coming to Martha there at the grave of Lazarus, and she didn't berate him or anything. She just said, Lord, if you'd have been here. And you like the little woman there at Jesus' feet, washing his feet, she didn't care about all the naysayers and the scoffers, but she was there to humble herself and wash his feet. The right mental attitude is Abraham saying, I don't care how many years have passed. The right mental attitude is Moses. I don't care if I don't have an army behind me. I'm going down and I'm taking over what God has promised. The right mental attitude is looking soberly and steadfastly at the word of God and ignoring anything that's contrary and saying, if God said it, if God promised healing for my body, salvation for my children, then I'm going to lay hold of that promise and ignore anything contrary to that. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. He said, I've seen sarcomas, cancer healed by the right mental attitude towards God's divine word. If you'll believe it, accept it. In another place, he said, if you'll take the right mental attitude towards anything God has promised, God's under obligation to see that you get it. That's right, because he promised it. Now, see, that's framing up your attitude. Instead of saying, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to have to walk away from it, your thinking has changed to where you're like, God promised it, so I ain't backing down from this. Right. Faith goes out and grabs it and takes it. And it'll stay there until you get it and won't give up because you know that if God promised, he's under obligation to see that you get it. And now listen to this closely, any divine promise of God. See, there's another place where he said, listen to this closely. Any divine promise of God, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can look at it right and believe it in that way that it's written, say, God, it's your word, and take the right mental attitude towards that divine promise, it'll bring it to pass because there's no defeat. Faith cannot be defeated. There's no defeat to faith. Where's all this coming from? In Mark chapter 11, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. See, that's framing up your thinking when you pray. That you're not just praying to do it, but you're praying with confidence that what you speak is going to happen. And you're not coming begging, but you're laying your petition before God and saying, I believe that you're going to answer, and I believe that you're going to do it, and I'm coming in faith. And that will have the same result, he's saying, as speaking to a mountain. Speak it to the fig tree, and the word will accomplish its purpose. In Hebrews 11, Paul said, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So all of these things are speaking of the right mental attitude. We have the mind of Christ. Our thinking has been changed. And Brother Ram will say, now you can take me on record as it's on tape. I make this statement tonight, and remember this. There's another place where he's saying, remember that if you will take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise that God has made, it'll come to pass. If you can take the right mental attitude towards any of God's divine promises, he will bring it to pass. And another place he said, and may I stop here just a moment to say this, and I'll go on record because the recorders are going, that any divine promise in God's word, if you take the right mental attitude towards any of God's divine promises, will bring it to pass, regardless of what it is. If God promised it and you show the right mental attitude, God will fulfill his promise to you. That promise is good to anyone who will look at it in that respect. Brother Bob, it seems like you're belaboring this point. Yes, I'm trying to drill it in. Drill it in real good that if you believe God, he's going to do it.
Right.
Now, aren't you glad we've got a God like that, that didn't just, he's not like a father that doesn't keep his promises, or, you know, a deadbeat dad or something, but he's a God that will keep what he promised. He said, now look, Martha had read that story, no doubt, and she knew if God was in Elijah, surely he would be in his son. Her brother was dead, but she wanted to see Jesus. Here she goes. She didn't come out to scold him. She come out to worship him, and she come running out. She fell down at his feet and said, now watch how she approaches God. She fell down at his feet to worship, not to scold him because he didn't come do what she wanted to do. She come right. She come in the right mental attitude. That's the way you've got to come. You've got to come to him that way in the right mental attitude. Now, see, how can I apply that to my own life? Well, what if something happens in my life that I don't like? Something unexpected, a relative passes away, our little dog passes away or something. You come to God and you say, well, I don't understand, and you start berating him or whatever. Or maybe you lose your job or something that doesn't happen the way you expect it to. Well, why don't you frame it up right with the right attitude and come to God? I don't understand why these things happen, but I know that you do all you work everything for the good of those that love you. And you begin to look at things differently. And you're coming with a different kind of attitude. I want whatever this circumstance is to change me. And regardless of what the circumstance is, I know that you're still God, and you're able to back up your word, and you're able to meet the need that I have. So if you've lost your job, God is able to frame it up so he'll give you another one, a better one. Right. Whatever circumstances in life, God is doing it for your good. So look at it with the right attitude, with faith and belief. And he said, oh, watch, she's at the right place before the right person. Sorrow, heart, her poor eyes was streaked, beautiful girl, I guess, and oh, her eyes were streaked, the breadwinner was gone, her brother was dead, he was buried, been dead 4 days, already skin worms in his body. Said, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I like that, even now, whatever you ask God, God will do it. Even now, Lord, he's dead, been dead 4 days, why? He's stinking. But even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. That's right. Our thinking's changed. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? How can you know a God that lives alone in the seventh dimension, that surpasses all our understanding and all of our anything that we could hope to understand, but then God gives you his mind? And slowly you begin to understand the mysteries and things that seem past understanding, and he shapes your thinking to look at things different. Look what Brother Brown said. He said, when he speaks, it's got to be perfect. We can't alter God's word. We have to alter our thinking to his thinking. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Then you'll think like he thinks. Another place he said, so there is genuine faith. But you must come into the real channel of God to have that genuine faith. There's human faith. Then there's faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then that's how God projects to you visions, revelations, and all these things comes by the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Now, see, when the mind of Christ, we're sitting around over the last week just talking about things that are happening around the message. When the mind of Christ is in you, that's why you have a minister go down the aisle and point at somebody and say, I know what's going on in your life, and it'll be true. A minister on the platform turn and look at somebody playing an organ. I know what's happening in your life and speak directly to the situation. It's because somebody's getting in the channel where the mind of Christ is actually active in the church. It's why you can go to somebody in your family, and if the Lord is dealing with you, like he would say in the stature of a perfect man, those men waited until they got a nudge from God, and then they went and did it because it's the mind of Christ working in you. See, then it becomes, so you can go and talk in words of encouragement to your family or something because you're led to do that because the mind of Christ is working in you. And then it's not just education and lectures and things, but it's actually a something supernatural happening where God is working in the body of believers. Now that's genuine faith, to take God's word and ignore anything contrary. He said, and we have faith in our heart, the faith of God in our heart, and can see it clear. It becomes a faith, and then we speak it, and it comes into existence. The same thing, because the mind of Christ is in the man. That's what makes healings and so forth. Oh, you think, if you're thinking like God's word says, and you speak, whatever you speak will actually express and become reality. If you need healing in your body, say, Lord, I believe that you're going to heal me. I believe you already have. He said, you can't have the mind of Christ and the mind of the world at the same time. You can't be in your way and God's way at the same time. You have to get out of your own way to let God have his way. That's the only way you're ever going to do anything. You got to get away from your own thoughts, your own reasons. Don't try to reason. Just believe. He said, here is the secret. The word is in the bride. This is that quote we love to quote. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. Another place he said, let the mind of Christ come into you. And that'll pregnate you with the word. If you don't, if you let the mind of the denomination come in, you'll be denominational pregnated. But if you let the mind of Christ come into you, he can't deny his own word because he's God. They say, Billy, you lost your mind. Maybe I did, but I found the mind of Christ. What's he talking about? He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ will come and live in you. And it, because God is there, he makes you start being magnetized to the world and withdraw from the world. He changes the way that you're looking at things. And this is why Paul, in chapter 3, he starts hammering again on their babyishness that he did in the first chapter. He gets on that again. He says, and I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. You're looking at things the wrong way. You're not looking at things the right way, even as unto babes in Christ. Now look at how he frames up what a baby is. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? In other words, they didn't have their eye on Christ. But they were making all these divisions and saying who's better and who's this and that and why. Why were they doing that? Because they were looking at men instead of Christ. Right. While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. You think, you know, if you really frame up what a minister is, it's almost something to, it's something to help, but it's almost kind of something to just, maybe this is not the right way to say it, but to just be discarded. You use the minister, you come to church, the minister preaches to you, but if you put too much emphasis on the minister, like they're doing, then you're going down the wrong way. Right. And you know, I just kind of talking, maybe this is just an observation, but over the years, you watch different churches and things start off, and the people in the church, they'll start getting like the mystery, that like things begin to unfold to them, and they'll immediately think, well, this is the only place you can go to get it, and they'll and then not realizing that all around the message, the same truth is being preached, and see, Paul is actually saying this is actually an evidence of a little carnal baby church, because they're not relying on Christ. They're not looking at their own revelation, but instead they're looking at a man. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, as the mysteries begin to unfold, if there's a group that the seven seals are being unfolded, and you begin to understand the capstone mysteries, and you come through the breach past brotherly kindness until that super anointing is moving in your life. You're not looking at a man anymore like that, but you're looking at the word, and the word is what has captivated your life. Right. And see what Paul is saying, and who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. God gives to everybody ministers. It's His Holy Ghost working through the ministers to speak to you, but it's the Holy Ghost that is the main thing, that Christ is the main thing, not the man behind the pulpit, that we want to have pulpit ministries and special ministries and things where that actually cause division. And why does it cause division? Because you get, instead of looking at the Word, you start looking at, well, I believe this person, I believe this person, and it causes these divisions, and everybody starts labeling one another. Well, this person goes to this church, this person is of Paul, this person is Cephas, and it creates these divisions that where if we would instead do like they did on the day of Pentecost and look with one accord at the Word, that's how they got in one accord. Look at straight at the Word of God. Not at all the different divisions and things. Why are you belaboring this, Brother Bob? Because Paul did. We're just going through the scripture, so don't get upset at me if I say these things, but get upset at Paul. So look what he's saying. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So if you want to really digest what he's saying here as we're about to close, the Corinthians were dividing themselves based on allegiance to different leaders, treating these ministers as rivals rather than servants of the same God. So this actually was an attribute of their immature worldly mindset. It was God who worked through them to bring the Corinthians to faith. And all credit, honor, glory belongs to Him, not the ministers. Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with some of the thoughts that Brother William was expressing when he was here. You know, you'll get praise, but you got to let it roll off because it ain't about the minister. It's about what God is doing in the people. Right. That's actually in that sermon, Why Christ Speak, where Brother Ram said that Satan was trying to keep the people from realizing what they had, because if the word that Moses believed was could get out among the people, and then they could realize it's the people. It's not about the minister. The minister is just a vessel that God uses to speak. So Paul would continue that thought in verse 6. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What's the one that plants? That Paul laid that foundation? Like he literally laid the foundation down through the seven church ages. But then if you keep adding on to that more, like if you water and keep growing it so that your characteristics can produce, you're watering. But still, neither is anything. It's the Holy Ghost. So you can't make the minister anything. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And we'll stop on this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It all comes back to Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. God bless you, saints.